welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely magnificent day today. Hope you had a blessed, safe weekend. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, I'm blessed, Austin. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I was on Man Cow's show this morning talking about 5G. And it was interesting. I mean, he's on an AM station in Chicago now, and he's basically trying to resurrect the dead. So it's one of those things, probably not the highlight of his career. But it's a big station, and it's kind of a clear channel station, so he's getting a lot of listeners. So I told him I enjoyed being on the AM with him, and he said, well, yeah, the problem is almost everybody who listens to AM is dead. And he's right. He's right. And, you know, and we were talking off the break, and he goes, so, well, at least I'm letting listen to your show. And he says, well, the show's terrible. And I'm like, well, the problem is Mancow's used to running with about four or five sidekicks in the studio with him, and that AM station doesn't have the budget to do that. And so he's having to try to carry the whole show himself, and he's doing a great job for what he's doing. But, guys, it just reminded me so much of how blessed we are that we have a podcast and that we can talk to you guys for an hour uninterrupted, back and forth, bringing upon occasional guests, etc., and give you the real news that's happening and not this nonsense with every 3 minutes or 2 minutes you got another commercial break to go to. Now, he did have Diamond and Silk on with him this morning. I need to get them on our show. I think that'd be fun for an hour if you want to do some real light news. But the reality is that, you know, this is the future. Podcasts are the future. The internet is the future of broadcast and of controlling the media, if we can control it. I mean, 95% of the mainstream media is owned by the international banking cartels, which pretty much tell you what you want to hear and tell you what they want you to hear whenever they give you news. Let me give you a perfect example of this. This warning was on Drudge, and it said the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen resigns after clashes with Trump on immigration. Now, think about this for a second. She abruptly resigned Sunday as the president continued to fume over continued illegal border crossings. CBS News first reported Nielsen's impending departure, which Mr. Trump confirmed in a tweet, of course he did, at 5 p.m. in a meeting house with Nielsen of the White House. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Kevin McLean will act as serving directors of a DHS. The Secretary of Homeland Security will be leaving her position, and I would like to thank her for her service, he tweeted. Now, here's the problem that I have with all of this. This is called scapegoating. You say, well, what does that mean, Ted? Well, you know, in the Old Testament, they used to have a scapegoat. It used to be a goat, which did put the sins on the goat, send the goat out into the wilderness to die or whatever, and they would, like, transfer sins. And that's where that term came from. Now, what's interesting is Kellyanne Conway's husband, George, targeted Trump again on Twitter over the DHS Secretary Nielsen's resignation. Now, these two have been having an ongoing feud if you've been listening to the news. And George Conway reacted to Kirstjen Nielsen's resignation in a series of tweets on Sunday, retweeting a post about how the Trump administration has acting officials in four major roles. Conway wrote, I wish we had an acting president. The lawyer and husband of top Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway also quoted a New York Times article which said Trump often felt lectured to by Ms. Nielsen. Conway wrote in response, Nielsen must have tried to tell him, you know, like facts and stuff, and he doesn't like facts and stuff. Now, here's why I'm saying this, and here's why I'm using some different quotes here from different people as far as what happened. Nielsen did exactly what Trump wanted her to do. This has been going on now because this is what he's been told to do as far as allowing the people to come across the border. She's done what she's been told to do. She's followed his direction, his guide, his lead. And now because he's getting so much blowback from it in social media, including our show, he's suddenly saying, hey, it's not my fault. It's Kirstjen Nielsen's fault. And you know, she was in charge of this, and she hasn't been doing her job, so we're putting somebody else in charge of this. When indeed the entire group of people involved in this are all part of the plan to overwhelm America with social welfare systems and to massively increase the voting ability of the Democratic Party and to basically bring the country down and create a new world order. You got to keep your eyes on the ball. So what Trump does now, because he's basically getting blowback on social media, because remember, these guys, and I know for a fact that, you know, when I'm on Hagman, he told me this, that the FBI records every single show that Hagman does. Every show. Every show is recorded by the FBI, period. Because of his footprint. Well, you know, guys, we've got a huge footprint too. So if you guys are recording me now, listen to me for a second. It doesn't have to be this way. You know, we can all work together as patriots and constitutionalists to restore the United States. But if you allow these demon-possessed handlers that are running everything to tell you what to do and how to act and who to prosecute and go after and who to do whatever you want to do to, you're going to be in a situation where the United States is going to be no more. I would let you guys know that with the FBI who are basically transcribing my show or listening this morning or whoever, Homeland Security, whoever, whatever. I don't want an overthrow of the United States government. I don't want that. I want the republic to be restored. I want a constitutional mandate in order to fix this mess. And Trump's not going to do it because Trump's being handled. And now he's blaming this on Nielsen, and now Nielsen's having to resign, and now Kellyanne Conway's husband's calling him out for the fact that she was telling him facts and he didn't want to hear them. This reminds me a lot of when Hitler was in the bunker before he died. And if you watch the movie, it was done back about 20 years, it'll come to me in a second. It was actually a movie about Hitler in the bunker.
Valkyrie.
No, Valkyrie's one of them, Austin. But Valkyrie's a good one. It's a good example. But there was another one that it was like the last day or so of Hitler being in the bunker in this one movie. And what was interesting about it is he kept being told that, you know, he didn't have this division, or this general had been wiped out, or this general couldn't go there, or this general couldn't go here, and he's just pitching a fit. He's screaming and yelling and foaming at the mouth and carrying on and just going berserk because he was delusional. Okay, he didn't believe that what had happened to Germany was happening to Germany. And that's how I feel with what's going on with the current administration. They're delusional. You know, Trump says something one time, and then his actions are completely opposite of what he said he was going to do. And then he starts firing people like Nielsen, saying, hey, you're not doing your job. Well, she's done exactly what she's been told to do. So this is what's happening in the White House. This is what's happening in D.C. And the sad part about it is that this is all part of that game I told you guys back a few weeks ago. It's a giant game to control the news cycle in the energy field around the planet. This is what they want to do. And the sad part about it is Trump just turned around. Listen to this. He just turned around and doubled the H-2B guest visa program, which brings many Mexican workers into the United States. You say, well, if he's trying to cut back on immigration, why is he doubling the H-2 visa program? Well, now this one I will give him some credit on. This one was okay. And here's why. This is legal immigration into the United States for workers. And this is how it all needs to be handled. Everybody needs to be documented if they're going to be coming into the United States to work. They all need to have their social security numbers given to them. They all need to be given true IDs and true ID forms. This is the legal people that we're going to bring into the United States to help us harvest the crops, et cetera, that we do. And that needs to be streamlined. And if you do that, let's say if we have 1 million people who want to immigrate every year, go in and out, go into the United States and back out of the United States. I don't know why they'd want to go home, but they might want to. Allow them the opportunity to do that if they want to come back and forth to the country. But do it orderly. The German word is Ordnung. That's missed an Ordnung sign. It has to be done orderly. And this, the stuff that we're doing now, this haphazard mess across the border, is a joke. And so we need to find a way to streamline it. But in the meantime, we have got to stop the 1.5 million coming in illegally right now. Probably going to be, and that's what they're admitting, guys. It's probably much, much higher than that. It's probably closer to 4 or 5 million. I mean, they are pouring across the border, uninvaded. And then we've got to catch and release. They catch them, they release them. Catch them, release them. Catch them, release them. I mean, this is all Trump. And, you know, and the sad part about it is, I talked about this on Man Cow's show this morning. All they have to do is deploy active denial systems, those radar systems, on the borders. You know, put them every 1,000 feet or 2,000 feet or quarter of a mile apart or whatever the effective range of these things are, and have this continually sweep, you know, in a 30-second arc. And nobody can get through it. And basically they're microwaves, and they're going to disperse after a couple thousand feet, 2,000, 3,000 feet. And then nobody's going to come across the border anymore. And then step back, okay, now we've got that in place. Now let's start building a wall. Let's start doing what we need to do. And if you say, well, we don't have that many active denial systems, well, I think our trillion-dollar Pentagon budget can build a few more of those. They're just big microwave projectors is all they are. Okay, I mean, let's be ridiculous about that. But reality is this, that let's do something. Remember, not 1 foot of new wall has been built under Trump. He's got a doggone emergency declaration, and not 1 foot of new wall has been built. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing I've seen. And all he does is just talk, because that's what he's being paid to do. Now, you say, well, Trump's smarter than that. I don't know what Donald Trump's IQ is. I don't know what his mental acuity is. I don't know how much verstand he has, how vernünftig he is. In other words, I don't know what his reasoning skills are, or his ability basically to manage his own life or whatever. But somebody who likes to go out and have sex with porn stars, unprotected sex with porn stars, according to the sex porn star, he's not really thinking through things. you know, what kind of diseases is Stormy Daniels going to carry? I mean, who knows? Now, of course, she could be lying about that. I don't know. I don't know. Don't really care. It's the fact that we've got to bring that up with the President of the United States is kind of disgusting to me. But the reality is this. I mean, what kind of reasoning skills does he have? I mean, you know, he's already filed bankruptcy multiple times. You know, he was given millions of dollars by his father, filed bankruptcy. The Rothschild banking cartel bailed him out in the 80s. Trump's basically a TV star. He's a, I guess you'd call him a shill. I guess he's been put up there and given all of this notoriety. I mean, think about it. He was big in the, when he's in his 20s and his 30s back in the 70s. I mean, he was big. He was already being put into media. He was being already held up as an example to us. And then he had the show The Apprentice that ran for over a decade, and he basically was the big star on that show. And so people really got to know him. He really got a huge footprint. And these globalists, they want that. Because remember, this is what they do. They come in and they find people they can use. They find people who they can actually work with as far as manipulating them. And they create this story around them like they've done Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or Cher, you know, or Tom Cruise, you know, or Katy Perry. And they spend all of this money making these people famous. And they become rich in the process as long as they do what they're told to do. When you're Michael Jackson, I talked about this a few weeks ago, or Prince, and you decide to take the shackles off, they got to destroy you. And Michael Jackson, they've done an amazing job with him. They're actually still hacking on him after he's been dead. You say, well, that Finding Neverland was a horrible documentary. I didn't say it wasn't a horrible documentary. I never said I was a Michael Jackson fan. I'm just saying that the guy's dead. And, you know, and you get weirdos like Barbara Streisand, who basically said the kids wanted to be there, and basically she's another sicko, but everybody knows who she is. So all of these people have giant footprints. And when they go off the reservation and they start saying stuff they shouldn't say, either they got to destroy the person's reputation, destroy their name, or they've got to kill the person. Well, that's pretty strong, Ted. Yeah, it is, isn't it? And that's why you see these people from the 60s, all of these young band stars who died in their 20s, who basically became huge overnight. And some of them couldn't sing for anything. But they were made huge because they were promoted and pushed. And this is the thing. It's like the monkeys. The monkeys proved this. The movie that you guys were young. You don't remember this. But the guys who are past 60, you guys remember this. The Monkees was a huge band back in the 60s, and it was totally fabricated. The guys couldn't even play instruments, but they could sing. And they went to a talent, like Cortez did. They went to a talent search for this new TV show they were going to release, the Monkees. And the guys who had them and controlled them, then they went off the reservation, started wanting to do really horrible music, basically broke up the band, broke up the show. And the guy said, I'm going to prove to you guys I can do whatever I want to do. So he comes up with a doggone thing called the Archies, which is a doggone cartoon band. It was a cartoon. And they started singing these songs as a cartoon character, and these songs went to number one. You think, what the heck? That's how much they control public opinion. They can take cartoon characters and turn them into movie stars and into band stars. I mean, it's insanity. But this is what they do. That's what Trump is. Trump is a fabrication. He's what they wanted him to be. He's that person who's the new Cyrus. That's who he is. That's who they want him to be. Same thing with Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, I know Netanyahu. I had dinner with him. I told you that. I said the guy was a creep. You know, Henry Kissinger was a creep. I mean, you get all these creeps running around, and they're able to be controlled. Like Richard Nixon was a creep, and they basically find these people, and they find a way to use them and manipulate them, and use them as cutouts, and in many cases become insanely wealthy because they control their companies, their corporations, and they use them as a front guy. That's what Trump is, Austin. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of different stuff going on. Also, too, in other news, we see that there's a huge, intense blizzard, look like coming out to the plains, the middle of this week. So be prepared for that if you guys live out in the Midwest area. They're talking about some heavy, heavy snow, very high winds, and be praying for everybody down in Texas and Alabama and everybody right now that just got hit with that big storm. But also, too, in good news, this is something that was exciting to see this morning. It's also over the weekend. The Supreme Court of the state of New York has overturned the medical martial law declaration of Rockland County, New York. Ed Day, who had declared a state of emergency and threatened to imprison children and teens for up to 6 months if they were caught in public unvaccinated. And that was basically the maximum penalty they could get, which was insane. New York Supreme Court confirmed, calling the medical martial law declaration arbitrary and capricious, basically turned it down. The PJ Media reports, they said Acting Supreme Court Justice Rolf Thornton ruled in favor of parents who challenged the Rockland County executive order in court. Thornton ruled that any emergency ban in general could not last more than 5 days, while Day wanted a 30-day ban. The judge ordered that all children affected by the ban can immediately be returned to school and welcomed in all public places, while declaring that the ban cannot be enforced. According to the PJ Media, Supreme Court Justice also dismissed Ed Day's absurd argument of a state of emergency indefinitely, explaining that the presence of 166 measles cases among a population of 330,000 people could not be construed as an epidemic. The vaccine industry, as we have seen, has repeatedly resorted to psychological terrorism and fear-mongering to push its dangerous product onto the masses. I talked about this in detail last week and on the Hagman Show last Wednesday, on this whole thing that happened up there and how they're using this as a beta test to see what the population is going to put up with medical martial law. But I am so, so very happy that the Supreme Court Justice Thornton did not allow this to go through, did not allow this to stay in place, stepped in on this and said, absolutely not. This is what I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks since this Ed Day, this blithering idiot vaccine stooge. I don't know how much money again, this is my speculation, but I am speculating very strongly that he has been either paid on the back end to push this agenda, or there's some type of blackmail that the pharmaceutical vaccine industrial complex held over him, because pushing something this authoritarian, this tyrannical on a population, and as I told you guys before, the aspect that didn't even make any sense to me was that you weren't quarantining individuals that had the measles. That wasn't in place with this vaccine, medical martial law. It was only quarantining people that did not have their vaccine. That was it. Everybody else could do whatever they wanted to do, but anybody that was unvaccinated, even people that didn't have measles, were not allowed to go on a public area if they're under the age of 18. Absolutely preposterous, but I am so glad New York State actually had a legitimate Supreme Court justice up there, Thornton, and he decided that this was not going to happen, because the vaccine deep state guys, they're not gonna stop. They're going to demonize the vaccine resistance every chance they get. This made national news. I saw so many people on social media support this. Oh, this has to be done. It's for the greater good. The greater good, there's 160 people that have the measles in the last 6 months of a population of 330,000 people, and this is now classified as an epidemic, and we're not even quarantining the people that have the measles. We're quarantining everybody that has not followed suit and licked the boot.
That's right.
The vaccine industry and gotten their compliant vaccine.
Right.
That's what this came down to, guys. And so, I commend everybody in New York that stood against this. I really am glad and support the parents that came against this and fought this in court and took this to court, because this would have been, in my opinion, if this would have gone through and stayed for the entire 30 days and continued to stay into a state of emergency up there, this would have been the next textbook play for every other county and state that wanted to pull this stunt, because they would have used this up in Rockland County as a pretext, as a precedent, and said, this happened up there, we have to do it down here now, because there are already multiple places in the United States that talked about this, and they said, well, this is a good idea, we need to do this too in our county, we need to make sure we can go ahead and do this. Now that Supreme Court Justice turned this down, it will be very, very difficult for any county or state to push this through without a significant amount of resistance, Deb.
Beta test is what this was. They wanted to see what the people were going to do. They wanted to see if the people were ready to allow themselves to be put under medical martial law for the sake of the community. Okay, what does that mean? Well, they're using it as an example. The sake of the community, the betterment of the good, 166 cases, now we have a problem. The chances are this judge, I don't know the judge, may have remembered when he had measles when he was younger and may have thought, this is stupid. This is not a disease that we need. This is not Ebola. Okay, now, you got Ebola running around. I mean, real Ebola? Real Ebola, not some fake thing they're doing, but you get real Ebola, you know, hemorrhagic fever, running around, super contagious, almost, you know, 50% fatal. You better start quarantining everybody, but you don't quarantine the general population. You quarantine the entire area. You don't just let the people run around. I mean, here's the thing. Austin's right. The people that had the measles got to run around. They weren't quarantined. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. The people who didn't have vaccines, they were quarantined. I mean, that makes any sense? That never makes any sense. And see, this is the problem. But what they have to do they've got to run the beta test. Again, this is what that giant data collection system in Utah does. It monitors all of this internet traffic and chatter, like our show right now, and they pick up keywords and how many people are listening. And see, this is what does it. When you have a massive group of people say that's enough, they take it to court, then our thing, that little pesky thing we call the Constitution for these guys, kicks back in and it runs it the other direction. That's why they're constantly, like Austin said earlier, pushing the envelope, pushing the envelope, pushing the envelope, pushing the envelope to see what they can get away with. Because the more they can convince the population of the planet that, you know, the measles is like, you know, the scourge, like, you know, this is like H1N1 or H5N6 or whatever they want to make it up this month, or whatever they want to do with these different diseases, with Ebola. Once they can get these medical martial law, how should I say, beta tests in place, well, we have to see what we did on this one. You know, remember, you say, well, that, they wouldn't do that. Gosh, guys, and when they had the Boston Marathon bombing, the police went door to door and broke into people's houses and put people on the floor with machine guns and basically told them if they moved, they've had them run out of the front yard and lay face down in the dirt, you know, getting bit
their
by
hands
ants.
Above their heads.
Yeah, their hands on their head. I mean, they did it already. They beta tested it when the big storm Katrina went through lost New Orleans years ago. They went house to house and they disarmed the general population who were God-fearing people trying to protect themselves with guns. They disarmed them to the point of saying they're going to shoot them and kill them if they didn't give up their guns that they were using to protect themselves with. This is how they do this. And all that stuff goes into data. It's a data bank. And they say, okay, here's what we did last time and we screwed this up. We got to change this. We can't do it this way again. We can't do it that way again. We've got to change it. Then they'll test it again. And they'll find the way that they can manipulate to push it through the system without as much blowback. Look what they've done. They've been trying for years to take away our guns. Donald Trump runs his big acting mouth, tells us here in the state of Florida we need to basically pass this legislation as far as the red flag gun laws. Boom, it's gone, done, fat passed. You know, former senator gets kicked out, new senator comes in, former governor, all those things happen. You think, well, wow. No, and also now they're like, this works really well. We've had thousands and thousands of people now. We've taken their guns away from them, and they can't get their guns back for up to a year. This is a great way to disarm people. Guys, it's going through the back door. There's no big law declaration. This is one individual. So it's hard for a community to rally around one person unless they're well known. If you've got some nut who lives on the end of the street, he's all boarded up in his house and basically has signs, you know, radioactive material, no entry and all that kind of stuff, you're thinking, well, maybe he needs to have his guns taken away. Well, how do you know that? How do you know he's done anything wrong? Maybe he just wants everybody to leave him alone. But see, it's easy to people say, well, we'll just take his guns away because, you know, he's weird. Well, you know, there are some people that are pretty weird, but that means they're dangerous. And not everybody's normal. I mean, what is normal? You know, what did Earl Nightingale say in his on that tape series he did a long time ago, The Strangest Secret? He said that 95% of the population, when they reach the age of 65, are financially dependent on an outside income source, and that's normal. That's normal. That's normal mass. That's the normal mass of people's 95% at 65, and they're financially dependent on an outside income source. That's the big bell curve. And then you have the outliers on the other end. Then you have people like me and Austin, who basically are out here telling you guys, maybe you don't want to listen to the mainstream media. Maybe it's not true. Maybe this is a lot deeper than you think it is. Maybe there's actually something else going on. Maybe there's a reason that they're releasing things like this. Another perfect example. Okay, this is Chelsea Handler, this nutbag, liberal, weirdo, who knows what she is now admitting that Trump's election has driven her to seek psychiatric help and drugs. I mean, you know, and see, this is part of that Trump derangement. I joke about this stuff because now, and the reason this makes Breitbart, okay, number one, this is another one of these foul-mouthed comedians. The reason she makes Breitbart on the fact that she basically has Trump derangement syndrome and that she's now supposed to seek psychiatric help and drugs is that she's, again, being used as an example out there for the people who are suffering from Trump derangement syndrome for them to go see a psychiatrist and get on psychotropic drugs. You think I'm joking? Not joking. They don't tell you stuff like this unless they want you to do it. Yeah, I've been really upset about the Trump election. He won. I got to go see a psychiatrist. I got to go see a shrink. I got to get some help with this. I can't deal with this emotionally. No, you say, well, that wouldn't happen. I have a friend. I told you this, guys. I've got a friend who's got a wife who's a communist. I didn't know she was a communist until Trump won. And she's gone off the reservation. She's insane now. screaming and yelling and cussing and beating on her kids. It's just nuts. And, you know, I finally told her. I just said, I'm done. I'm out. Leave me out of your loop. Done. Don't want to do it anymore. And the guy's so scared of her, the friend, he's afraid to cross her because he doesn't know what she's going to do. She's got, like, Trump derangement syndrome. And, you know, it was so funny. When she found out that I had voted for Trump, which I did, because I'll be honest with you, how should I say this? How can I say this in a nice way? Trump talked a good talk, ran a good campaign, made a bunch of us believe he's going to do what he's going to do, and I didn't have to vote for Hillary, or Hillary didn't get in the White House. He said, why would you? No, I really dislike Hillary that much. The woman's got, her and Bill got about body count. When the whole thing with Benghazi came out, that was enough for me. I mean, I was past Hillary way past before that. I was done with the Clintons, back with Vince Foster. You know, when you think about all the bodyguards that they had over the years that were all killed or murdered, come on, guys, really? Something's weird about all that. I mean, think about it. I mean, but the other thing is too, and don't get mad at me about this because it's going to sound really politically incorrect. I'd much rather look at Melania Trump than I would Hillary. Oh gosh, I said it. I should have never said that. Sorry. Well, no, I'm not really sorry because I mean she's actually a pretty lady. She's pretty classy, and quite frankly, Hillary just to make it as simple as I possibly can, she nauseates me. When I hear her speak, I feel physically ill. You think, well, do you have Clinton derangement syndrome? Yeah, probably I do. I probably have Obama and Hillary Clinton derangement syndrome. I can't stand to hear either one of those people speak. So it's one of those things. This, again, is what they're telling you. Go see a psychiatrist because you've got problems with who's in the White House now. And remember, if you see a psychiatrist, you're going to get better. You start taking drugs. That's what they're saying. By the way, Netanyahu is now vowing to annex the West Bank settlements. Yeah, of course he is. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed over the weekend to annex the West Bank settlements if he is reelected in Tuesday's elections, even though he's under investigation for all kinds of fraud. The incumbent prime minister also said he had told President Trump that he would not evacuate a single person from the 400 or 1,000 or so Jews that are residing currently in the West Bank. And he goes, when asked why he had already extended Israel's sovereignty over the settlements, he said, who says we won't do that? We are on our way. The next term will be fateful. The next term will be fateful. That's a quote. What the heck does that mean? What kind of foreshadowing is that? The next term will be fateful. We'll go to the next stage. End quote. What the heck? Okay. There you have it from the Middle East. You go, well, you shouldn't be talking about the Middle East. Why not? It's part of the world, isn't it? You know, I can talk about Brussels, Belgium, not wanting 5G. I can talk about Angela Merkel, the great second Hitler, basically destroyed Germany and the EU and all of Europe with her massive immigration policies. That's okay. I can talk about the nightmare that's going on with Brexit in England. I can talk about Brussels doesn't, you know, want the EU there anymore. They've had enough of the people, have had enough of all of this stuff there, and they don't want the headquarters there anymore. I can talk about all of this stuff, and it's okay. I can talk about what's going on in Australia with their gun seizures, in Canada where you can't quote Bible verses anymore. I can talk about all that stuff. Why can't I talk about the Middle East? Why can't I talk about that? Oh, that's right. I do, don't I? And that's just, and by the way, that's the reason I'm asking these questions is for the guys that are transcribing the show right now. Thought you'd like that. Austin, what do you think? What's your next story, bud?
No doubt about it. It's definitely interesting because you always, and I've said this so many times, I've always said this for years, loosely quoted, find out, if you want to find out who controls you, find out who you can't criticize. And that's always a topic that I think that's interesting because it's, and again, I don't want to go far off in a rabbit hole with this, but this is a consistent topic that gets brought up because there's always one group of individuals, one group of the world, one small country, and to be exact, that you always can never talk about. You can never bring up any topics, even if it's positive, even if it's negative, even if it's truthful. Doesn't matter what it is. They're forbidden to talk about, essentially. And you guys already know what I'm talking about with that. And so if you want to find out who controls you, find out who you can't criticize. Also, too, in other news, I thought this was interesting. Now, and let me bring this back to what we were talking about with the vaccines earlier and all these issues with these diseases. The massive influx of migration in the United States with people that are carrying a lot of these diseases is a huge culprit. Another one now, too, is the massive amount of homeless individuals throughout the country, especially in California, which is getting bad out there. The reason why I'm bringing this up is an article that came from Summit News. It says, medieval diseases are making a comeback in major American cities. Now, what's interesting about this is this article doesn't talk anything about these diseases coming back because people aren't vaccinated. Quite contrary. It says the main issue with this is the increasing amount of feces in the streets. Because, you know, this is not an article. According to the report by Kaiser Health News, the infectious diseases that are ravaging populations, that ravage populations in the Middle East, are now resurging in California and around the country in major cities. Outbreaks of Shigella bacteria and hepatitis A, both which are caused by exposure to feces, are in a huge increase in Southern California, New Mexico, Ohio, and Kentucky, primarily among people who are homeless or use drugs. Experts, though, however, now warning of a public health crisis that could see these diseases spread to the general population. They said the San Francisco's junkie problem, many of whom live on the street and use sidewalks as outdoor toilets, now stands at almost 25,000 people, which is over 8,000 more people than the entire city's high school population. 25,000 people in San Francisco alone now. They said despite this increase, the city has handed out a record 5.8 million free syringes last year, which is about 500,000 more than in 2017, and there were 9,659 calls complaining about needles littering the street in 2018, an increase of a third over the 2007 numbers. So what they're seeing now, and then we brought this up repeatedly, is a massive increase in diseases because these individuals who, you got to remember, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are on drugs. When you're completely drugged out of your mind and you're homeless, the world is your toilet. Just be honest with you, it's just a fact. You don't go try to find a porta potty. You got to think like you're homeless. You don't have a home. You live in a tent city. Talked to you guys about those last week when Lana was out in California, all over the place. Hundreds of thousands of tents everywhere, all over California now. Huge portion of them in San Francisco. When you're homeless and you're drugged or you're drunk or you're running around, you don't try to find a toilet. You don't try to find a porta potty. You don't dig a hole. You just defecate on the street wherever you're standing, and then you go off and do whatever you're going to do. This was a huge primary issue in the medieval times with the diseases that started to ravage that country. Proper sanitation was not being used at that time. This is the same thing we've seen from people that have come over from the Middle East that do not have any idea how to even use a toilet nor how to flush a toilet. They simply defecate on the sidewalk or in the flower beds. This has been a huge problem in Germany, them trying to get the feces on the street under control. And I know this is a disgusting topic, but I want to bring you the real reason why we're seeing these diseases make such a comeback and why the propaganda and rhetoric from the vaccine industrial complex about how this is all happening because people are being vaccinated. Wake up call. The vast majority of the individuals that are coming down to these diseases have had vaccines at some point in their life. There's very, 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 very few individuals that have ever been on record of having zero vaccines that are coming down with these diseases. That's a fact. Same thing I talked to you guys about in 2015 with the huge measles. I say huge. The couple hundred people that came down with measles out in California with the Disney World issue that happened in 2015. They found that almost half those individuals had the full updated MMR measles vaccine, and they actually caught the measles from the live viruses injected in them, and then the people that caught it from them caught it because they had the shedding virus. So don't tell me that this vaccine lie that's being pushed upon the population is simply because people like me who haven't been vaccinated are causing the problem, because I'm not. I'm incredibly healthy. I have proper sanitation and hygiene, and I don't run around and spread diseases to anybody. That's what's so irritating to me about this with this entire propaganda that they're pushing. Let's address why we have tens of thousands of people in San Francisco to get handed free needles to prevent diseases, which is what they call it, yet in turn now they're having a disease outbreak unlike anything they've seen anymore, with feces in the middle of the street on a regular basis, one of the most disgusting cities in the United States, when San Francisco used to be flourishing back in the day before they allowed open borders and homeless tent cities to occupy their towns. Let's look at that. Also, too, look at California now, something that nobody's been talking about. This happened last week. This is interesting. As you guys know, California has one of the state's most aggressive tax collection policies in the country, hence why hundreds of thousands of people are leaving the state. Mass exodus has been going on for years, despite record-setting budgets from seizing the citizens' assets. assets and money and funds on a regular basis. The state has never, never had enough revenue to fund all its programs or to expand the so-called tax authorities, even though they continue to take more people's money as much as they can. You guys know the state's income tax at its peak is 13% income tax. The fuel out there right now, by the way, when Lana was out there, the fuel is almost at $5 a gallon for fuel out there because of the taxes that they've added on it. However, now a newly created California Department of Tax and Fee Administration has now started sending collection letters to small businesses in other states that sell products via online platforms such as Fulfillment by Amazon. A Washington State third-party seller just got a letter last week who's distraught and frightened after receiving a letter from California telling her that she's facing tens of thousands of dollars in back taxes, penalties, and interest, something that will force us out of business in the bankruptcy, she said. The seller has complied with California tax rules and even signed up for California business licenses. But now the state of California wants uncollected sales taxes going back 8 years. 8 years to 2011, they want all sales records, so they want all sales tax from 2011 and forward that this lady is not paid. What's happened now in 2018, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the South Dakota Wayfair decision that states can collect sales tax from online businesses even if they not have a physical presence in the state. You guys remember when this happened last year? Big debacle. Nothing's really come of it because it's very, the whole language of it's very choppy. There's really not a whole lot of teeth in the bill. Well, California isn't content collecting taxes from this state going forward now. Now they want every penny from the last 8 years. So to do so, the agency took a novel and highly controversial reading of what that law stated. They said your nexus in California may have been established because you use Fulfillment by Amazon services for sale you make over the internet, and some of your inventory that Amazon has stored in fulfillment centers was at a warehouse in California for delivery to consumers in this state. The agency is demanding that Amazon as well hand over all private information from these companies. In other words, California is saying that businesses in Washington, Mississippi, and elsewhere throughout the country actually had a presence in California because unbeknownst to them, Amazon fulfillment centers may have had some of their inventory stored in their product warehouse somewhere in California. I kid you not. The Wayfair ruling has created such a confusing mess. It has opened up the floodgates and provided no practical guidance for compliance. Chief Justice Roberts stated that they're brazenly disregarding the cost to impose on these retailers and bolstered by the fact that nobody's addressing that overseas sellers easily avoid paying sales tax and there's no way to enforce it either. So now California is saying if Amazon warehouse in California had some of your product at some time that was sold, even if you're in another state, you now owe them sales tax reparations from the last 8 years now, regardless of how long your product's been in that state. This goes to show you again what happens when you allow a state to go full retard. Full tyrannical. That's exactly what we have now. They're completely and totally lost their mind. They're retarded. They're idiots. They've completely and totally gone over to the dark side, and this is exactly what we have seen now and why we have laws in the Constitution to prevent a tyrannical government from suing, and now California is trying to take so many things out of context because they're so broke, they're so busted, they're hundreds of billions of dollars in the hole every single year that they now have to start going in and try to tax states outside of California for the last 8 years because their product may have been in a California warehouse at some point in time in the last 8 years, Dad. You cannot make this stuff up with how incredibly insane this state has become out there.
Well, they're broke, Austin. Remember, they can't just print money. They got to float bonds and get money from that. They're like a have a trash rating as far as their ability to pay stuff back.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He tried to fix it, but you know, he was another big globalist. I mean, he couldn't get anything out there done. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not an Arnold fan. I'm just saying that because I kind of like the voice because it's kind of German, but really it's Austrian. But the point is that you know they're broke. And when you've got a government that gets broke, they can only do one thing. They've got to increase the taxes to cover the social welfare systems. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to do everything they possibly can to get solvent and to pay the bills. I mean, it's like Chicago. It's up in Illinois. I mean, when I was on with ManCal this morning, they were joking about how bad the roads are in Chicago. I mean, I was in Chicago years ago. I don't like going to that state, that city, because what happens is you get there, if you're like in an RV, you got 12, 15, 18-inch deep potholes all over the interstates. It's awful. I mean, you're kind of launching from one pothole to another pothole as you drive. And you guys are listening right now in Chicago. You know that. And they'll patch them. They'll patch them. So then you launch from one patch to another patch. And it's awful because when you increase the social welfare systems without increasing the revenue base, the state goes into a deficit as far as other programs that it needs to fund, like road repair, and your system basically falls apart. And that's what California's doing. So now they're trying to grasp at straws, and they're trying to go to every other state in the country and start charging people back sales tax. I mean, people don't realize how much authority like the state of Florida has with their sales tax. I mean, they can come to your office, demand a audit for you, which they've done with me in my office about 10 years ago, and have somebody sit there on a computer for 2 or 3 days, and they found absolutely nothing wrong. We pay all of our taxes. And then they just get up and leave. And you go, what the heck was that all about? I mean, even the IRS can't do that. I mean, these guys can padlock the front door. I mean, like immediately if you deny them access. This is how much power the state has as far as sales tax revenue is concerned. And I guess California decided they can go in and just do whatever they want to do as far as sales tax revenue and stuff. Interesting article. Trump is now calling for the Federal Reserve to cut rates. He said the economy would be a rocket ship. Okay. Now, I know you don't read a lot, Mr. Trump. I got that. I understand that. I know you may have dyslexia or whatever. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, that's something that a lot of people have, and that's okay. But you need to look at some macroeconomics here. Number one, we have a hyperinflated housing market right now. It's more inflated than it was 10 years ago. That's number one. Number two, if we lower the interest rates, we're going to have even more housing get started because people can afford bigger and nicer homes. And we don't even have the manpower right now to continue to build the houses that we have, causing a massive increase in demand with a massive increase in price. That's happening as we speak, Mr. Trump. In addition to that, the real indicator of inflation is gold. And the real indicator of inflation is the M1 money supply. That's economic term for the amount of money in circulation. Back in 2007, 2008, before we had the great financial crisis in which the international banking community was bailed out for all the junk that it lent, all the stuff that it did, you know, we had less than $1 trillion in cash in circulation. I think it was $800 billion in actually dollars printed in money in circulation. Then we had our quantitative easing to infinity, and they ended up pumping another $20 trillion into the system and not even telling us where it went. When Bernanke was asked before Congress where the $20 trillion went, he goes, I really don't know, man. Just don't know. Why are you asking me these questions? I don't even want to be here right now. Who do you think you are asking me these questions? That's what he did. He wouldn't answer the questions. $20 trillion. Not to mention what they said on the on-book balance sheets with the tens of trillions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars a month they were pouring into bad assets. I mean, so we've got right now gold should be conservatively $20,000 an ounce. Silver should be $400 or $500 an ounce. That's conservative. It's not, because those markers are being artificially held down. So, Mr. Trump, get your economists in there, have them talk to you about M1 money supply, and have a look at what's happening right now with the housing market and all the other things that are happening. How unemployment is like at an all-time low, according to the way you guys figure out unemployment right now, even though there's still a lot of people who can't work because they're like on drugs, like heroin, like the $1.5 trillion coming in from Afghanistan. Somebody needs to mention that. Nobody talks about that ever. Like, we're the only show that really ever talks about that. Why? I don't know. I don't know why we're the only one who talks about that. On a lighter note, this is interesting. The Kim Fox, she's now defending her decision to drop charges against Jussie Smollett. And she says the reason that people are fussing at her is not because she received hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of campaign funds from a Soros organization in order to do this. Oops, should have said that. She's saying it's because she's black. I just thought I'd mention this. This is from the Daily Mail. Cook County State Attorney Kim Fox defended decision to drop charges. Fox on Saturday suggested that criticism of her was because she was black. Smollett allegedly staged what he claimed to be a racist and homophobic attack in January. Chicago, he was so funny. They got a double whammy with this guy. Number one, he's black, so they love to drag black people out to this stuff and make race problems with that, and he's gay. On top of everything else, he's gay and he's black, so they can get two special interest groups all at once and attack both of them. You know it's true, Austin, and attack both of them. So they get double whammed for the money here. Chicago police arrested and charged them all. It was 16 felony counts, but they were dismissed. Police chief just passed a no-confidence vote in a Cook County state attorney's Chicago will sue Smollett for the costs of police time spent investigating his claims, which I feel quite certain that one of the George Soros organizations will then reimburse Smollett for all of these dollars he has to spend, and they will use him for more propaganda. A fitting end to a poacher in South Africa. An African rhino poacher has been trampled to death by an elephant and then eaten by a lion. I guess that's a good way to go out. Conservation officers in South Africa found the body, partially eaten body, of a suspected poacher. Then that thing was killed by an elephant who trampled him, but to add another layer to the man's death, his body was also partially eaten by a lion. And you think, well, does this really happen out there? Well, guys, this is the woods. Okay, I've been to Africa. Been to Kenya. Went there years and years ago. Close to 20 years ago, I went to Kenya. And they take you out in these little safari jeeps, and you're in the middle of the bush, like the Serengetis up in in Kenya, and the Masai Mara, and there's literally hundreds of millions of acres of nothing besides a bunch of animals eating each other. And if you jump out of the car, or if you end up being there without protection, like with armed guards, armed security, whatever around you, and somebody decides something, or something decides they're going to eat you, you better be able to get back in your car or shoot this something that wants to eat you, otherwise you will be gone. So I'm quite happy that the guy who was poaching for rhinos basically got trampled by an elephant, supposedly, and or eaten. But again, we have to ask ourselves a question. Unless we get rid of the demand for the rhino horn, you're not going to get rid of poachers. When you're paying somebody thousands of dollars to cut the horn off a rhino and kill it, it's using all kinds of the Chinese medicine. It uses a lot of this stuff for aphrodisiacs and all kinds of other stuff. And it's something that we don't realize that unless the demand is ended, it's not going to get any better. By the way, a United Nations, of course, a Rothschild-controlled UN expert is now visiting Assan, who's about to be arrested, to assess violations of privacy claims. This is interesting. An independent rights expert will visit WikiLeaks founder Julian Assad at the Ecuadorian embassy in London to assess whether the privacy violation claims involving him merit investigation, the UN Rights Office said Thursday. The special reporter on the right to privacy, Joe Gattatisi, plans to attend WikiLeaks to meet WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange on April 25th, the UN office said in a statement. The meeting will take place at the Ecuadorian embassy in London. I can guarantee you that's not what they're going to discuss, where Assange has been living for more than 6 years and will be facilitated by the Ecuadorian government. The announcement came after Quito filed a formal complaint to accusing WikiLeaks of spreading private information linked to President Moreno. Okay, guys, this whole thing with Assange, I'm going to say this again, and I said it multiple times. This guy's a hero. This is the guy who released the Clinton information in the Podesta files and a whole bunch of the Clinton emails to the general population to show what an unbelievable group of criminals we have in the Democratic Party, which, by the way, we also have in the Republican Party. Not picking on either party. They're both equally as horrible, okay, except for one tries to pretend like they're for anti-abortion, why they continue to fund Planned Parenthood to almost $500 million a year. Saying we don't like abortion, we're going to give all this money to Planned Parenthood, which is ludicrous. I mean, if you don't want to fund abortion, don't fund Planned Parenthood, primary abortion provider in the United States. Republicans continue to do that, and Trump continues to sign that into law. Just thought I'd mention that, all that. Again, same thing with the Democrats. Again, this is that whole thing I talked about before. Both sides controlled by an outside source. You're going to fix a ball game, you got to fix both teams. You got to fix both coaches. You got to fix both quarterbacks. You got to fix the teams. You got to fix and find out how you're going to do this. Because if you tell somebody you can't cover the point spread, you have to win by this margin, and this is what we need to do. You need to be X amount of place in the first quarter, first half. Then that's what they expect of you to be. They would never do that, guys. The last year that our star quarterback Winston Jameson was at Florida State, he was accused of shaving points. And was telling his friends to vote that it'd be a certain point spread at half. And one guy made like $5,000. And it was exactly pretty much what Winston said it was going to be. Really? So this kind of stuff doesn't happen? Oh, that's right. Yeah, the betting and the stuff's not controlled by organized crime, is it? No. Go to sleep. Never think these things again. Come on, guys. This is what they do. They don't want you to believe any of this stuff. They want you to believe that it's all legit and it's all for real. Austin, what do you think about my singing, and what do you think about these stories, bud?
Well, we're going to have to work on your singing, but other than that, the stories are pretty pretty accurate. Also, too, one more health article before where we go. A topic that we bring up to a lot of people on the phone via email when they are discussing different type of health issues, different type of diet issues. One thing that is always a staple that you have to cut out of your diet is sugar. People a lot of times don't understand how detrimental sugar is on the body, especially the immune system and everything else. Well, another article, we've talked about this repeatedly, but a new research study again has linked white sugar increasing the risk of osteoporosis. The consumption of sugar has been linked to numerous health problems, including diabetes and cancer. We already know that, especially excessive amounts of sugar. Researchers looked at the effects of table salt and white sugar on the development of osteoporosis. The review published in the journal Missouri State Medical Association, they reported that sugar induced inflammation, increased renal acid load, and raised insulin levels. At the same time, it decreased calcium intake and increased calcium excretion. From these findings, they concluded that consuming too much sugar results in the releasing of calcium and magnesium from the bones, which links to osteoporosis. Previous research showed that refined sugar could cause dramatic spikes in blood sugar levels that is quickly absorbed by the body. Apparently, the body reacts to the blood sugar spikes by leaching essential calcium from the bones, which leads to increased urinary excretion. In addition, the sugar interrupts the absorption and transportation of calcium, the conversion and absorption of bone-building vitamin D, as well as the specific enzymes needed for the formation of new bones and magnesium. So, just kind of in a nutshell there, if you're worried about your health, if you're trying to stay healthy, if you're trying to keep healthy bones, especially if you're a female, cut out the sugar. Avoid adding sugar to your food or drinks. First off, if you're making a drink, don't add sugar to it. Use monk fruit. We hear that in the office. That's one of the best sweeteners you can make. Switch to water. Do not, under any circumstances, drink soda. And I mean for men, women, anybody, even if you don't have osteoporosis. Calcium leaching from soda is so detrimental, it almost boggles your mind when you look at the research on it. It's with the phosphoric acid, with the high fructose corn syrup. That stuff is so toxic, I can't even imagine that people put it in their body all the time. It is disgusting to me. If you want to see how nasty it is, and you want to see how strong it is, and you want to see how acidic it is, take a big old rusty bolt and throw it in a glass of Coca-Cola for the night and pour it out the next day, and that rusty, nasty, seized up bolt will be completely pretty and shiny by the next morning. That's how acidic it is on iron and rust. Imagine what it does to soft, brittle bones. So cut that out. Also, to avoid products with added sugar like ice creams or jellies or the canned fruits, a lot of times they've added sugar to them. Don't eat any of that, especially anything with brown sugar, corn syrup solids, corn sweetener, fructose sweetener, high fructose corn syrup, liquid fructose, malt syrup. They're all equally as bad. Either use stevia or use monk fruit. And if you're working on your bones and you're a female and you're trying to develop strong bones or reduce the issues with osteoporosis, add in our Osteomag formula or our ultimate bone support formula. Those two are excellent formulas if you're trying to fight off osteoporosis, but by all means, cut out sugar out of the diet, Dad. Anything you want to add on that?
Yeah, alcohol too. Alcohol precipitates calcium, so does sugar. And you got to avoid both of them. Alcohol massively increases the risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, breast cancer. I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, alcohol is bad. Now, if you have, and remember, women don't process alcohol like men do. It's a sexist comment. Whatever. It doesn't work as well for women. Women have a hard time clearing alcohol out of the system. It's really, really bad for women. And I don't know why. I guess a lot of it could do with body weight. A lot of it could be how it's processed as far as through the liver. I don't know. But women do not clear alcohol as well as men do. And it massively increases the risks of osteoporotic fractures. You know, my mom ended up having an osteoporotic fracture in her toe. That's what ended up putting her in a nursing home. And I didn't agree to that, by the way. That's what the family member did. And because they had power of attorney over her. And she ended up basically, she drank sodas, regular high fructose corn syrup sodas all the time. And she's walking one day and her toe just breaks. And of course, the doctor told me it was a lytic lesion, that it had just cancer. And of course, he was an idiot. And of course, I got into a giant argument, almost into a physical altercation with him in the hospital because he's a moron. And of course, that's how that worked. But I've told you that story before. Also, toxic massage. You know, massage is great. It's an incredibly highly therapeutic modality. It's not the massage that's bad. It's the oil they put on you. It's really, really important that you don't allow them to use oils that are estrogen-based. You don't want to have them put all kinds of chemicals and compounds on top of you. You don't want to have a petrochemical infusion with mineral oil. You don't need all of this stuff, guys. It's really bad for you to be involved with any of this stuff, and you really need to avoid it. I mean, you need to avoid it. I mean, there's all kinds of good there are many good options you can do as far as massage if you want to do that. Coconut oil is probably the best. Sesame seed, flax seed, avocado, grapeseed, olive, all that stuff is okay for a massage. The best that I've seen is the coconut oil. And also, if you use our sports oil, it's phenomenal because you're rubbing magnesium into your body if you're getting a massage. And then you add some more, if you're having pain or joint issues, then you use some of the CBD oil to massage the stuff that's been infused. Use that also, and you mix it all together. You can mix it with coconut oil. It makes a great, great massage oil. And it does a great job as far as helping your body, not poisoning your body to all of these chemicals that's in your system from the being absorbed through your skin. Because remember, your skin is a semi-permeable membrane. It allows things to be absorbed. And remember, coconut oil outperforms dangerous petroleum body care products. In fact, if you're going to use this to moisturize, coconut oil is a great compound to use and avoid all of these other chemicals, and it's very, very inexpensive, and it's a great, great product. Guys, thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for listening. I had the privilege today, again, to pray for you guys this morning. It was interesting. I told Sharon, I said, I need to pray for the audience, and I was trying to do the Man Cow show and all that. I said, I need to wait until after the show with Man Cow so I can really, really pray for everybody today. It means a lot that you've trusted me to do that for you. I love you guys, but we have prayed for you today. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting your products from us, your B vitamins, your C, your D, your E, all the things that people take. Thank you for praying for us. I love you guys. I appreciate you too. Austin, go ahead and finish it up, and I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you for the continued support. And I'm getting a lot of feedback on the CBD oil, the CBD hemp oil that we have. That's been an incredibly great product. I love it. I take it every night. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback from the people that have been using it for the last 3 or 4 weeks now since we've had it out. So it's exciting. We got a brand new batch we're working on again to get it in, so make sure we can take care of everybody on it, because that is a very pure formula. We make sure, I've got a lot of emails where people have said, man, I've tried other CBD oils and they didn't do anything. Yours actually works. It's because we keep ours assayed and tested every single batch to make sure the dose is what it is. A lot of these other companies out there are building a good product and then they're slowly cutting it over time to reduce the results of it, then reduce the purity and potency of it so they can increase their profit margin. It's expensive to get true organic CBD pure oil like that. So we thank you for the support. Be sure to check it out if you want to. It's on the website at healthmasters.com. And also, too, everybody that loves our magnesium brain food, it's on sale for a very limited time. Over 15% off the magnesium brain food on the website right now at healthmasters.com. Thank you for the support. We appreciate you guys. Stay awake. Stay strong. Continue to wake everybody up around you. And we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.